Tonight we'll be working
through parts of John chapter 14, our primary verse, John 14, 27. So if you would like to prepare, that's the place to go. This fall, this semester at Youth Group, the entire semester, we've been talking about God's promises. That throughout the scripture, both in the Old and New Testament, that God has made powerful promises to his people. Promises like, I will love you, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, I'll provide for you, I'll guide you, and many, many others. And tonight, I want to focus on the promise that God gives of peace. God saying to you, brothers and sisters, I'll give you peace. Now, if you've read any amount of the Bible, you know that God makes promises. He's done so from the very beginning. Some of those promises are warm and cozy, and some of them not so much. Like when Adam and Eve sin and creation descends into chaos, God promises some things that aren't so fun. Pain in childbirth, the toil of working the land, God promises those things. But yet there are beautiful promises that God makes, like to Noah and his family, never again will I destroy the earth by a flood. Or the promise that God makes to Abraham, I will turn you into a great nation. The promise that God gives to his people, I will give you a land, you will inherit it, and you will prosper. The scripture is full of God's promises. God is a God of promise. The greatest example we have recently is Christmas. God made a promise through the prophet Isaiah to send a Savior, and God keeps his promise in the sending of his Son. Again, Jesus, a perfect example of a promise made and a promise kept. God makes and keeps his promises, and God has never failed in a promise that he has made. And so as I sat in that reality this summer, I started thinking, do God's people, myself included, know his promises? Salvation is a good, big, and beautiful promise, but there are more promises that God has given us than just salvation. And I'm not saying salvation is minimal, it's huge. It's the greatest promise of all time, but God has promised more. And in the things that God has promised, he has never failed. His word can be trusted. God does what he says that he will do. We can't always say that about the world around us. That even those closest to us don't always do what they say they will do. When they say they will be on time to the Christmas party, they don't always do. That was us. We were late. The world doesn't keep its promises, but God does. And the question rolling around in my mind is, why don't we act like the promises we read in the scripture are true? We have a history book that lays on our desk or beside our bed or in a laptop bag somewhere or on our phone, of God making and keeping his promises for hundreds and thousands of years, yet we don't act like the promises in here are true. We will tell ourselves, I'm not loved, not cared for. We will tell ourselves, there's no forgiveness for me. We will tell ourselves, I'm too far gone to be saved. We will tell ourselves, I've got no provision. It's not true. Not according to the promises. All good promises begin with God. How many of you have made a promise? Come on, I know some of you have. This is like youth group time. I need some participation. There will be points awarded at the end. How many of you have broken a promise? I break promises to my children all the time. I'm not proud of it, but I do it. If you just go to bed, Dad will fill in the blank. God makes promises and he keeps them. And the best promises on the face of the earth throughout human history are promises made by God. Good promises start with God. And he has a history of making them and keeping them. He is the initiator of powerful promises. You are not. All of the good promises in Scripture are initiated by God, not by you. God promises to love you, not because you loved him. God promises to forgive you. God promises to guide you. Tonight, God promises to give you peace. He does the work. You do not. And this promise of peace starts with God, not with us. But just an example of peace in the Scriptures. I had to print them out because it would take too long to flip through my Bible. And you don't want to see me flipping. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 119, great peace have those who love your law. Those that love the law of the Lord have peace. Nothing can make them stumble. Psalm 29:11, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Proverbs 12:20, deceit is in the heart of those who desire evil, but those who plan on peace have joy. And then one of my favorites, Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. This is just a sample of peace in the pages of Scripture. Peace is found everywhere throughout the Bible. And what do you notice about the verses that were read? What I notice is that God is the giver of peace. God is the giver of peace. Peace is of God's design. The reason we read from Genesis 1 at the beginning of the service is because before God, his intervention into the world, there was chaos. There was darkness. There was no peace. And then God says, let there be light, and peace explodes. It arrives on the scene. Peace is of God's design, and he gives it to whoever he wills. Peace is also an essential part of God's character. Think about it this way. God cannot give something that he doesn't already have. Now, granted, God has everything. But God could not give peace if peace did not dwell within God himself. Same for you. You cannot give peace if peace does not dwell within you. God promises peace. But what is it? You ever thought about what is peace? What is peace? What is this thing that God is giving away or promising to give away to his people? I had a friend and a pastor who said it this way: peace is a settled sense deep in your soul that all is well. Okay. I like that. I don't think it's all the way there. Others have said that peace is tranquility of the mind, of the body, of the heart, and of the soul. Some of us look at the world and we think peace is just the absence of war, that there's harmony. But I want to suggest tonight that there's more. This is good, a good place to start, but there's more to peace. What God promises, when God promises peace, is God promises completeness. The Hebrews use the word shalom. You've probably heard it. It's probably a Greek or a Hebrew word that you're very familiar with. Shalom. Well, shalom is to be sound or whole or complete. After God created and rested, everything was good. There was peace. It was complete and whole. It lacked nothing. And sin tosses it aside and it breaks, and now there is chaos again. It's not complete. Peace is light. Like we focused on all of Advent, light, the light that drives out the darkness. Peace is chaos being corralled and subdued. God promises more than just happy, cozy feelings. God promises more than you to just not have that pit in your stomach. God promises more than you to be free of anxiety or depression. God promises the Garden of Eden. He promises completeness, wholeness, soundness, shalom. And through Jesus, specifically, God gives us this peace. So turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm going to start at verse 25. This comes in a section of John where Jesus is kind of saying his goodbyes and giving his parting advice. It's not the same, but it reminds me of like being sent off to college. And the parents sit down with their kid and they give them those last parts of wisdom before they send them on the road. Or in my case, you sit down at the table with your Rand McNally Road Atlas and you highlight the path to Trinity Christian College. That's what my dad did for me. There's no Google Maps back then. Jesus' parting advice. And in this section of Scripture, Jesus promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. So starting at verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus gives his peace. Pay attention to the words. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. What is Christ's peace? Two parts. First, it's his wholeness given to us. How can broken, sinful people stand before a good and perfect God? Only by the wholeness that was won for them on the cross. Jesus promises a peace that his people could not obtain on their own. Wholeness. The only way you or I could ever stand before God is by the gift of Christ's blood. Shalom. Complete. Whole. And second, Jesus gives them a tranquility, and he gives us a tranquility. How could Jesus endure what he endured? From trial to punishment to death and everything in between, if he did not have the tranquility of God within him. that peace that surpasses understanding, that allowed him to go through the most difficult trial and journey that any human being has ever endured. And it's this peace that makes us complete and whole, and that gives us tranquility. This thing that Jesus has, he gives to you. And there's no footnote or fine print where Jesus says, "This thing I give you if." If you memorize the right verses, if you go to both morning and evening worship, if you pray the Psalms every day, if he says, "This peace I leave with you, this peace I give you," and it's understood that it's given and received in relationship with Jesus. How do you get the peace? You know the guy that's got the peace. One of the things he still does this, that my father-in-law always does, and when I first experienced him, it just felt so Chicagoan to me, but he always knew a guy. Like, "I got a guy. I got a buddy." It's like you have the most random issue with your house or your car or something else, like, "Oh, I got a buddy that does that." At one time in Illinois, Lacey and I had, do you know what voles are? We had a vole get into our crawl space and then climb up inside of our wall, and there decided it would be a good place to go on to glory. It died there. I was like, "What do I do?" My father-in-law, "I got a guy." Jesus is the guy with the peace. If you want the peace that surpasses understanding, if you want the peace that gives you completeness and wholeness, if you want the peace that gives you tranquility, seek relationship with the guy. And he gives. He gives a peace that dwelt and dwells deep within him to you. And you receive it through relationship with him and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that Jesus continues and he says, not as the world gives, the second half of verse 27, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Jesus gives us his peace, and it's given not as the world gives. Well, what does the world offer? The world offers a counterfeit peace. It promises much and delivers little. The pressures are everywhere to find peace. If you augment your body in a certain way, you will love yourself more and you will find peace. If you work really, really hard in school and you achieve the 4.0 and you become the valedictorian and give your speech at graduation, you will find peace. If you wear the right clothes or the right shoes or the right hat, if you have the right makeup or whatever, if you look the right part, you will have peace. And in terrible instances, if you mutilate your body in order to fit a gender identity, you will find peace. And what happens to all these people that pursue the counterfeit peace is that road comes to an end and they find that they're just as empty as when they started. The counterfeit peace of the world offers or claims to offer joy and prosperity, health and wealth, and it never delivers. Is being guaranteed one extra year of life going to give you peace? Truly? Is making that one new friend going to give you peace? Is making that next dollar going to give you peace? Is cheating your neighbor going to give you peace? The world promises that it will, but it doesn't. promises much and delivers little. The world offers a peace with strings attached. You have to believe, say, and do right things, and you will have peace. If you don't say and do right things, there will be chaos. The world offers a peace which it will take away in an instant. I talked about this morning in a children's message, but one of the things we've been doing since Christmas Day, which wasn't that long ago, is threatening to take all of our children's toys away. Just behave, or we'll take them. That's how the world gives. The world gives a gift temporarily. It gives peace temporarily, and it will look for every opportunity to take it back. And we keep getting duped into seeking it out. The extra dollar, the extra whatever, we seek and seek and seek, and then it's taken, and there was no peace to begin with, and now there's none to end with. The world offers a counterfeit peace. And that peace that the world offers costs you your soul. The peace that the world offers costs you your soul. Contrast that with the way that Jesus gives his gift of peace. Freely given. Jesus gives freely to those who come to him. Jesus gives freely to those who pursue a personal relationship with him. Jesus gives with the intention that you receive. He does not want to take it back like the world does. He wants you to take it and run and live like it is true, to use the gift. He doesn't give just to take back. And again, this peace can only be found in one way. One way. That's it. In our world, we hate exclusivity. You hear often, well, I'm religious, that there are many paths to God. There is one way to God. There is one way to peace. And this peace which I've described and that we've spoke about this evening, this shalom, this soundness, wholeness, completeness, can only be experienced and found in relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Your favorite show won't do it. Your favorite candy won't do it. Your favorite meal won't do it. Your favorite car won't do it. Jesus will do it. He's the guy. And the beautiful thing is that this peace settles the heart. It drives out those feelings of being troubled and fear. Look at the text again. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus gives through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes only by relationship with Jesus drives it away. Just like the candle, the light drives out the darkness. His peace pushes away fear and anxiety. So I have three questions. The first is, are you troubled? Jesus promises peace. And if you pursue him, you will experience peace. Are you afraid? There's a lot changing in the world around us. There might be a lot changing in your life. Are you afraid? Jesus promises peace to those who participate in a personal relationship with him. Are you in complete. Everyone should be thinking yes in their head because you are. Jesus promises to make you whole. And finally, the fourth question, and to keep beating the dead horse, I guess. How can you have this peace? Through Christ and Christ alone. You know, the older I get, the more that I've seen, the more people that I meet, the more conversations I have, I'm saddened by those that claim Christ and do nothing. It's not enough to say, I am a Christian. That's not it. It is a lifestyle. It is a commitment to Jesus and his way of doing things. Bruce Mullain, in his commentary on John, talks about the peace that Jesus offers this way. It is a peace born from a living personal relationship with Jesus that is deepened through a growing surrender of life to his gracious rule. If you want peace, you seek Jesus, you don't seek you. If you want to grow in peace, you have to grow in your relationship with Christ. If you want peace, it comes by him and him alone. Many things will promise it. None of them will deliver. So friends, if you're troubled, if you're afraid, and if you're incomplete and you need peace, then you have to seek Jesus. Jesus meets you in your troubled place, and he comforts you. Jesus meets you when fear overwhelms, and he gives you courage. Jesus finds you in the incomplete place, and he makes you whole. If you want it, go get it. Amen.